Okay, let's call this meeting of the House Finance Committee back to order. It is 3 minutes after 5 p.m. on Thursday, April 14th, 2016. This is resuming the meeting that was recessed earlier in the day. Present with us now at this point is Representative Wilson, myself, Vice Chair Representative Sadler with the gavel. We are here this evening to take public testimony on two bills, House Bill 245, Permanent Fund Deposits, Permanent Fund Dividend, and Permanent Fund Earnings, and House Bill 250, Individual Income Tax, Credits, and Returns. I want to let those in the room and those listening by teleconference, we anticipate having a lot of people speaking tonight, so we have a two-minute limit on public testimony. You can testify on either of those two bills, the permanent fund bill or the income tax bill. In order to testify this evening, you must be signed up at the LIO in your community by 7:30 p.m. or be in the off-net telephone queue by 7:30 p.m. I want to remind everybody that we would like to have your written testimony as well. Please email it to the Finance Committee at the address lhscfin@akleg.gov. lhscfin@akledge.gov. Okay, if Jessica is ready, we're going to go first to the LIO in Anchorage, and we'll have Mr. Oh, one more point. This could be an issue with which people have strong passions, but I want to make sure the testimony is kept civil and respectful. If it's not, we will stop it. So going first to the Anchorage LIO, going first to the off-net. Mr. David Landry in Anchorage, are you off-net? If you're there, give us your name and your testimony.
Thank you, Vice Chair Sadler. My name is David Landry. I'm a construction contractor in Anchorage, Alaska. And I'm calling, I wanted to speak on House Bill 250, the income tax. And first of all, I have two points I'd like to make briefly. I am in support of an income tax. I think it's the fairest way to do general population revenue enhancement, which I think has been established as something that's really needed. And I would also add that, I don't like to pay tax, but I think that to actually solve the problem, we're going to actually have a bigger tax than anybody really wants. And I actually liked Representative Seaton's bill that he introduced last year. It was a high-income tax. I think it spreads the pain around in a more equitable fashion. I think it's better for rural Alaska. And my second point is, I know you're hesitant to do this year, but I and other colleagues who are in the construction business are experiencing what Gunnar Knapp has been describing. The uncertainty is not good for us. I typically don't have people come to me with a set of building plans and engineering and a plan to build a job, and then typically there's a period where we talk about it and go through it, and I don't get a lot of looky-loos on that. People come to me, they want something built. Over the last 18 to 20 months, and I've confirmed this with other colleagues who are in the construction business, I get people with a full set of plans, I get people with a full set of engineering, we talk about it, and then they demur on the project because they don't know what's going to happen. And I know Gunnar Knapp has talked to you about, not doing everything at once, but also that uncertainty is a big issue. I'm here to tell you from the field that uncertainty is a big issue for us in business. And I would encourage you to implement the income tax, even if it's not enacted this year. Get it on the books so we know where we're going, even if we only pay our first tax in 2017 or whatever. I would just encourage you to do it and not be shy about the rates. And that's what I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I appreciate your time. Yeah, we've got lots of folks signed up. I want to make sure people keep it to 2 minutes so we can be courteous to those following up. And we'll follow up with David Morgan at the off-net site. Mr. Morgan, please give us your name for the record and go ahead with 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Representative Sadler. I've got my time watch here, so I'll try to keep it at 2 minutes. I'm a member of Commonwealth North. I'm not representing them. I am an economist by profession. I have right in front of me is Gunnar Knapp's presentation. He showed all three areas with four options under each on page 32. An income tax basically has the most total number of jobs that would be reduced by pulling dollars in the aggregate format in the economy out. But I'd also like to remind the, especially from the previous caller, that only half of Alaskans actually pay federal income tax. And only 25% of them, by the Internal Revenue Service website, itemize. So they offset from a state income tax in order to put some of that to offset federal tax. You would have to qualify not just from that, but from overall meeting the standards of total dollars to itemize on your taxes. So the fairness concept, I think, is out the window where less than 25 to 30% of payers, who are only half of the Alaskans in the state, who have a wage or income, would actually full burden of this. If you go to page 32, for the short run, for the next year,
15 seconds,
you will probably need to reduce savings into the permanent fund and utilize that, and then study this over the long haul, as Gunnar Knapp has said, in order to have the least impact on our economy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Morgan. Okay, up next we have off-net Mr. Gary Hutchinson of Fairbanks. Please give us your name for the record and give us your 2 minutes, Mr. Hutchinson.
All right, very good. Thank you. I'm a local businessman. I've been in Fairbanks a while. I've experienced the crash of the 80s and several of the recessions.
I'm in full support of
HB 245, the adjustments to the permanent fund. I think what's being proposed takes money that's not currently circulating in the economy to put a big plug in a very large hole. I appreciate the legislature taking on this third rail, and I also noticed that it doesn't come up with enough revenue to make the problem go away. So other things certainly need to be looked at. The concept of an income tax is one that we need to look at, but I don't think the legislature should get in a hurry in implementing it. And in particular, I think it should be done so only if hand in hand we take on another third rail that exists in this state and provide the state of Alaska with tools to manage the public employee retirement liability. That it doesn't exist currently, and I think we need to be able to do that given the unfunded liability that's in excess of $7 billion and set to be a part of the finances of the state for the next 25 years. So if we're going to start taking money out of the economy with an income tax, it should be done with providing as well a tool for management of that public employee and TRS unfunded liability. And those are my comments today.
And this is Gary Hutchinson, correct?
That's correct.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's continue with the folks online. Mr. George Pierce and Kasilov, give us your name for the record and your testimony.
My name is George Pierce. I'm calling from Kasilov, Alaska. I'm representing myself and my family. Do not take my permanent fund. The Alaska Permanent Fund is restructured, so some of its earnings go to pay annual government expenses and dividends and are tied directly to oil. The governor's bill is the best one without changes. However, it seems like the changes look like Leslie McGuire's bill. This is the only money I get from my resources. You got us into this mess, not us. You can fix SB 21, and you can fix the no taxes in Cook Inlet. We can't afford these companies no more. This failed in the 1990s when you wanted to take our fund, and we told you not to. You give everything to the oil companies, special interest groups, nonprofits, and when you stop funding those things, put it on the ballot for the people to vote whether or not we want to loan you any of the money. It's plain to see the legislators can't budget the money, so keep out of our permanent fund. due and income tax, a bigger oil and gas tax, a bigger mining timber tax. It will be too hard on rural Alaskans to take their permanent fund. The permanent fund is not broken. The legislators are. Fix that. I spend all of my dividends checks right here in the state and support my state and community, and I've lived here for 26 years. Solution to me would return and look at oil gifting and mega projects. You guys got us into this. You need to fix this, not us.
Mr. Pierce, thank you very much. Your 2 minutes are over. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Pierce. Okay, we're going to go next to, actually for the record, Representative Gaddis, Representative Munoz, and Representative Edgman have joined us since the meeting began. Continuing off-net, we will go to Tam Agnosti-Geisler. And again, 2 minutes, and you can speak on either bill, House Bill 245 or House Bill 250. Ms. Agnosti-Geisler, please go ahead.
Agnosti-Geisler, yes. Tam Agnosti-Geisler, and I'm speaking on House Bill 245. And I'm also speaking on behalf of six family members. And just for your record, I'm in District 17. My daughter and son-in-law are in District 21, and my son is in District 26. So we want to state our opinion that we do support the POMV approach on the permanent fund use. We also do support an income tax and hope measures would put in place, even if we don't start to collect it immediately, that is in place for future revenue building. And please do not try to balance this budget solely on cuts to the budget. That's all I have to say.
Ms. Agnosti-Geisler, thank you so much for your testimony. We've been joined by Representative Thompson, Co-Chair Thompson. Continuing on the off-net, let's go to Mr. Ed Martin in Cooper Landing. Go ahead with your 2 minutes, sir, and your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Ed Martin. I represent myself and my wife. Chairman Sadler, that you're taking testimony on 245 first, and then do I get an opportunity on 250? Or which one are we talking about here?
Mr. Martin, you can speak on either bill.
Well, I'd like to speak to each of them, but 2 minutes on each. So I don't want to be, cut short for the matter of expediency. You folks have been down there in the legislature for now almost 90 days, and now we finally get around to some of this testimony. As far as an income tax, it's sort of interesting. I encourage you all to go on the YouTube where all our governors met in 1993 when we were faced with the same problem up in Fairbanks and listen to what five governors had to say about state taxes. It was sort of interesting because I was watching it today. And I think it was Hammond said that maybe we all ought to file a 1099 on all the benefits that we pay, or maybe benefits we pay for through a tax. And it was quite an interesting conversation between him and Wally Hickel. Every governor has tried to get us to pay some kind of tax so they could tax somebody outside the state. I'm sorry, but that doesn't work. Make the user fees somehow against outsiders, but not necessarily against us. I don't know how that's accomplished. And I'm dead against an income tax because it isn't very fair. It only hits those that work for a living. What about the rest of the so-called unemployed for whatever reason? I really believe if this is the one I'm going to speak on, it's a very inappropriate tax. Alaskans shouldn't be getting a permanent fund dividend and then be taxed for it on top of that. That was part of the conversation between our governors. You folks have got a problem, and your problem is you spend more money than you take in revenue. And it's not your fault you've lost that revenue, but you fail to come up with anything or the governor from our resources that creates new wealth. And that new wealth would benefit all Alaskans. Sell some land in this state. We've got 105 million acres, a lot of it, less than 1% in private ownership, and therefore is not creating any wealth for anyone, even as a common ownership. We're supposedly an owner state. What does that mean? Does it mean the state owns it all? No. I don't believe that. That does not follow under the American principles of rights and liberties. and property ownership. So you guys need to get a clue down there. You have not put anything forward. I suggest what you do, no income tax, no reading of the permanent fund, and use the constitutional budget reserve for what it's used for, and then start thinking about how you're going to get new wealth created in the state by selling some of our lands. That is my suggestion.
Mr. Martin, I forward
information
to
you all, yet not a single one of you called me back on the issue, and I think you're failing in meeting your obligations to look at new revenue.
Mr. Martin, thank you for your testimony. Your time is up, sir. Thank you very much. If you want to send in testimony, you can send it to lhscfin@akleg.gov. Thank you very much. Going next to, let's switch to the Juno LIO, close to town, Tom Boutin. Mr. Boutin, give us your name for the record and 2 minutes on either bill.
Right here.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
It says Juno LIO. I'm sorry, Tom.
You bet. My name's Tom Boutin, speaking for myself only, and thanks for the hard work that you do. People who propose an income tax have no apparent understanding of basic economics. We're 700,000 people wearing out Boeings and Subarus and iPhones. We consume Nabisco cookies and Fred Meyer milk. We don't produce any of those here. We produce less of what we consume than any other state, and we may consume more per capita than any other state. The people at Boeing and Nabisco need to get paid. We can't give them a picture of a state of Alaska employee and tell them, while we no longer produce nearly as much state product as we used to, on your behalf we provided this state employee with a job. Nobody at Boeing is going to take that in payment. And income tax promotes the myth that we can create an economy if I bring my laundry and $20 down to the SOB and give it to Jerry Burnett, and he gives me his laundry and his $20. Even if we exchange our laundry and our $20 bills every day, that doesn't pay anybody at Boeing or at Apple or at Nabisco. We cannot support the government that we built with oil by taxing each other. That's common sense, but it's also in the first chapter of any economics textbook. We can't take in each other's laundry. Either we increase production of something we can trade for those Boeings and Subarus, or we reduce our consumption. State government is a measure of our consumption. It's not our production. I know you all can see that. Fewer than half of Alaskans pay a federal income tax. So a state income tax would tax a minority of Alaskans and only those who work. Taxing workers and job creators sets up an adverse selection. Those are the people who would leave. The people who don't pay a tax would stay. We'll be lucky if our economy can weather this and repay our $11 billion of public debt, meet the public employee defined benefit obligations, and pay for what the courts will tell us the Constitution requires. An income tax would exacerbate our problems, and the workers and job creators who leave will not take a share of that public debt and that defined benefit obligation with them.
Mr. Boutin, please summarize or conclude.
A couple minutes. State income tax is deductible only for those who itemize. So for 2015, the deductibility for a married couple would begin only at the $12,601 dollar.
Mr. Boutin, thank you.
You bet.
Please give your testimony to the committee aide there. We'll make sure and get on the record. Thank you. Yeah, we've got 2 minutes and a lot of folks. Mr. Fuhrer, you're up next. Again, we're looking for 2 minutes testimony on either or both bills. Just give us your name for the record, and we'll move around the state and the room to make sure everyone gets included. So give us your name for the record, and please give us your words.
Thank you for working late to hear my testimony today. For the record, my name is Ron Furr. I'm president of NEA Alaska, representing 13,000 education support professionals and teachers statewide. I'm also a teacher with over 30 years of experience teaching social studies at Clark Middle School and the McLaughlin Youth Center. It is because of the students I taught over those 30 years that I'm testifying in support of HB 245 and HB 250 today. With Alaska facing a $4.1 billion budget deficit, what future will we leave for them and for their children? The deficit is simply too big to address without restructuring how we use the permanent fund earnings and with a sustainable draw that will preserve the dividend for future generations and help pay for essential services like public safety, public schools, and that make Alaska a great place to live, work, and raise a family. Passing a broad-based tax will help to spread the burden of the budget deficit and allow our state to collect taxes from out-of-state workers that utilize our state services. I chose Alaska as the place I wanted to spend my career and raise my children. This is where my daughter is raising my grandson. If we act this year to address the budget deficit with a long-term fiscal plan, we can ensure that we leave the next generation with great public schools, safe streets, and a growing economy. Thank you for your time. Please pass HB 245 and HB 250.
Thank you, Mr. Fuhrer, and please do leave us your testimony. Okay, going next, let's go up to Bethel LIO, where in Bethel, Bev Hoffman is on the line. Ms. Hoffman, please give us your name for the record. Let us know what you think of things in Bethel.
Thank you. My name is Beverly Hoffman. I'm 64 years old and have lived, born and raised in Bethel, Alaska, and I've lived here most of my life. And the whole thing that's coming down in Juneau with our budget crisis just has me concerned. My adult children live here in Alaska, and they're proud to be from this great state, and I want their future and Alaska's economy to stay, to be healthy and strong, and we all have to be proactive. And I'm wondering, how can we justify these tax credits that oil companies, mining companies are getting? I believe that we do need to reinstate the state income tax. I looked on the labor statistics for 2014. Resident wages increased 4% to $13.9 billion in 2014. Non-residents were increased 7% to $2.6 billion. That's $16.5 billion in wages that are going untaxed. I just have a difficult time understanding why this is such a problem. I'm semi-retired. I'm a partner in a summer business, and I don't mind contributing. I don't make a lot in retirement. And then with a permanent fund, I count on my permanent fund. I pay up front as soon as I get it. I pay my heating, fuel, electricity, and water. And so I say about that, minimize the pain to Alaskans, but cap it. I don't, you know, I'm looking at $1,500, $1,000. And then, you know, give some Alaska residents an option to opt out of the permanent fund. That's another suggestion, if they don't desire to be a part of something like Pick, Click, and Give. I support using portions of the permanent fund earning, but make sure it keeps growing. I want you to keep working on eliminating fluff, not cutting education and other programs, projects that promote good health in our communities. These are my thoughts, and I'm saying please, asking you to work together for all of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. I appreciate your words. Going next to the, I'm sorry, we have been joined by Representatives Mark Newman and Representative Lance Pruitt. Going up to the Anchorage LIO, Mr. Dennis Knebel. I'm sure I pronounced that right, Mr. Knebel?
Knebel.
Great. Why don't you say it one more time loud for the record, and give us your 2 minutes, please.
It's Dennis Knebel. Nobody ever gets it right. My name is Dennis Knebel, and I'm a resident of West Anchorage for more than 20 years. I'm a journeyman electrician working in the construction industry my entire adult life. I support this bill. That's House Bill 245. Please act now to support this legislation. Now is not the time for partisanship. Please work together to get this bill done for the future of our state. A sustainable budget will keep Alaskans working. We build roads, bridges, schools, and many other projects. When we are working, we are spending, and that's good for Alaska's businesses. The same can be said for Alaska's public employees. This is a step in the right direction. I support structured, sustainable use of the permanent fund earnings to help close the deficit, and this bill does that. I support action this session to extend the life of the CBR by using a portion of the permanent fund earnings to fill the budget hole. We cannot wait. I urge you to pass this bill. Budget reductions and other tax measures will continue to be part of the overall measures necessary to balance the budget. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate your comments. Okay, we will go next to the Kenai LIO. The Mat-Su LIO. Cindy Bettine, please give us your name for the record and pronunciation, and give us your 2 minutes of testimony on either bill, Cindy.
Hello, I'm Cindy Bettine. I'm from Big Lake area, and I'm a Wasilla business person. I'm very interested in seeing the PFD earnings used to help bridge the budget gap. I think that we can't afford to wait. I lived here during the 80s as a business person with some commercial real estate, and I would really hate to see us get to the point that we were in the 1980s. I think that it's time for every Alaskan to contribute. I don't have a problem with some of the other options to raise revenues, but I think that the first step is to use the PFD earnings because everybody can make a contribution. I appreciate the hard job that you have before you, and I urge you to act during this session on the PFD earning use. Thank you very much, and look forward to seeing you local Valley delegation back in the Valley soon.
Thank you, Ms. Patine, and Representative Gaddis is waving and smiling. We'll continue in the Matsu LAO. Patricia Fisher, please give us your name on the record and your testimony, please.
Right. My name is Patricia Fisher. I am from Meadow Lakes, one of Mr. Newman's constituents. I want to speak generally in favor of taking action this year to solve our budget crisis. I am in favor of 245. I do not have an opinion at this point on the income tax. I believe a comprehensive approach to solving our budget crisis is absolutely necessary in form of restructuring the PFD, some taxes, and a strong look at cutting unnecessary expenditures. So I say get on it, get it done this year. Do not wait. Thank you.
Ms. Fisher, thank you very much. Staying in Matsu, Jim Sykes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jim Sykes from Palmer. I'm speaking for myself. One of the things I haven't heard, I've listened to a lot of discussions, is the question, can you solve the budget cap without touching the permanent fund dividend? I believe the answer is yes. I hope that you review ICER's findings that finds that it's less damaging to the economy to pay the full permanent fund dividend and tax some of it back than it is to transfer half the dividend directly to the government. This is particularly true since the current tax structure is based on $100 barrel oil, or at least high oil prices, and we simply can't afford to subsidize oil credits and carry forwards with permanent fund dividends. That's ridiculous. So I think that we need to keep the permanent fund dividend and inflation proofing. So I guess I'm opposed to those sections of the bill. You might shave some of the inflation proofing, use some of the permanent fund earnings. The whole idea of the percent of market value and saying it's going to be 5.25%, I think is way beyond the pale. I don't think it can possibly be that high in work. And so I think that the important thing for you to do is to get it done this year, not necessarily this week. And it is important to get it right rather than to get it done quickly. And so the permanent fund dividend and inflation proofing are the glue that has held these things together for so long. They still work, and I urge you not to touch them under any conditions, but to use permanent fund earnings. And if you have to find some other taxes to tax some of those earnings back, that is what it was designed to do, to let the money flow through the economy first before you give the money to the government. And that's what I think needs to be done. And I thank you for your hard work. I know it's tough, but wish you good luck.
Thank you, Mr. Sykes. Okay, just remind people that we're hearing on the permanent fund bill, HB 245, and the income tax bill, HB 250. 2 minutes on either bill. Please send us in your written comments if you have them. We'll go next to the Kenai LIO. Fred Sturman, please give us your name for the record and your testimony, please. Mr. Sturman.
My name's Fred Sturman. I've been here over 50 years in the state. I would like for you guys to talk to my two friends that just lost their contract with the oil company. They didn't work for the oil company. They just worked for the oil company. They had a nice little $16,000 to $20,000 a year contract doing some work for the contract. They said they didn't need him anymore. And then the other fella, he just got his notice the other day that he's going to be cut back on a lot of hours and stuff, and he don't work for the oil company. He works for individuals outside the deal. And he just found out that his insurance went up $2,000 this year to his insurance. So when I come, whenever you come back here, I'd like for you to come by, and I'll take you, introduce you to these two gentlemen here that's going to have a lot of trouble making it, and tell them how come you're going to take their permanent fund, you're going to give them the income tax, sales tax, a lot of other stuff, and you're going to give it to a government employee that's making $200,000 to $150,000. I don't think that's right, folks. And remember one thing. Government has never produced one penny of new money. All they do is take the money and wear it out. They throw it away, and it's useless. We sent you 14 different ways to cut this budget, and you just haven't even looked at one of them. Closing the LIO office, put it in contract deal, close the launch facilities in Kodiak, cut the railroad way back because it's not making any money now because there's nothing coming north to south. It's all going north. They can't be making money. And there's several other deals that we've given you guys to cut the fuck. And all the thing you want to do is grab our money and give it to the government employees, which most of them right now have a better deal. They called their retirement plan here the other day. I was talking to a couple of them. They said, we got a beautiful gold parachute contract. So, and I know my 2 minutes is up, but I tell you what, folks. Cut the government. You've hired 7,000 employees approximately since 2000. That is almost $1.5 billion. There's your good place to start. And thank you.
Mr. Sturman, thank you for your words. Appreciate it. Yeah, we're trying to keep it to 2 minutes for everyone to get a chance to speak. We're going to bring it back to Juneau and ask Ms. Drew Pierce to come forward. If Drew's not here. Oh, there she is. And just a reminder to people online that if you do have comments you'd like to get written on record, please send them in by email to lhscfin@akleg.gov, lhscfine@akledge.gov. So you know the drill, Madam President, so please give us your words. And yes. Name for the record, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Microphone.
My name is Drew Pierce. I'm a former member of the body. I'm presently actually a constituent of Mr. Guerra. I'm here today to testify on House Bill 245. I would like to commend each and every one of you and all of your colleagues for your willingness to stand for election and to serve in the legislature. I don't envy you your service this session. The fiscal crisis facing the state is dire. I remember voting to make real budget cuts when oil prices were at $9.50. But we did not face the lack of reserves that have produced today's unsustainable status quo. Frankly, we cannot afford the government we have. I commend your actions to make major cuts to the budget, but the problem we face is only partly due to overspending. The CS before you represents a major step towards sustainability to protect our future. You aren't just protecting the future of government spending, but also the economic future of the private sector. I support structured, sustainable use of the permanent fund earnings to help close the deficit, and this bill does that. I support action this session to extend the life of the CBR by also using a portion of permanent fund earnings to fill the budget hole. I'm one of the owners of a small Anchorage-based business with just a few employees. I'm very concerned that my investment and hard work in this business will be lost if you don't restructure the state's spending. A deep recession would likely force us to close our doors. Support this session for the action taken in this bill will provide some certainty to the private sector that the legislature will steadily manage the state's fiscal challenge. That will protect private sector jobs and support continued private sector investment. I'm sure that the enormity of the budget gap facing you is overwhelming. But to borrow a word, it's being used by at least one candidate this year. The price of not taking action is huge. Please act now, and thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pierce. Appreciate your words. Please leave your written testimony with committee aide. I'd like to call up Joelle Hall, followed by Bill Corbis. And please give us your name and affiliation for the record. And you've heard me before. 2 minutes, please.
Good evening. My name's Joelle Hall. I'm here today representing Alaska AFL-CIO. We are happy to be here tonight and proud to be participating with the Alaska's Futures Group. I want to thank you for your service and for your thoughtful contemplation of the issues before you. I know you've been working very hard, and none of the options before you are any fun at all. We are fully aware of that. As you well know, Alaska's future and the Alaska AFL-CIO is fully supportive of restructuring of the permanent fund dividend to make sure that we not only can pay for the services that we provide the citizens of Alaska, but also ensure that there is a dividend in the future. This is critical. One of the only ways on the table today to protect the dividend in the future is to actually restructure the dividend. It seems counterintuitive, but it is in fact true. We support this option because it also gives a large and meaningful contribution to filling the hole. This bill, it looks like about, once you net out the dividends, it looks about 1.7, 1.8. That's a meaningful contribution to a $4 billion hole. It's nearly half the way there. We think that this is a significant contribution. We know you have a lot on your mind. We know you have a lot to weigh. But I just want to, in light of some of the conversations that have happened today in the world and in this building, I just want to leave with this final point. The most regressive thing that we can do to the people of Alaska is nothing. That is the most regressive action this body can take. I just implore you to take action and to do it this session because for all of the reasons that have been stated so eloquently by people before me, we're all in your hands, and we all want to build our future here together for our kids and our grandkids. Thank you very much for your time and for your service.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Appreciate it. Mr. Bill Corbis, followed by Eleanor Andrews. Sir.
Good evening. My name is Bill Corbis. I live in Juneau. I served as Commissioner of Revenue for the years 2003 through 2006. I have followed the deliberations of the legislature, mostly on the Senate side, on the issue of the Permanent Fund Realized Earnings Reserve. I urge you to support House Bill 245. It's a good compromise, and it is an important ingredient to resolving our state fiscal dilemma. Again, I urge you to act on it favorably and soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Corbis. I appreciate what you've done for our state and for our capital. Ms. Eleanor Andrews. And we have been joined by Representative Guerra as well. And Ms. Andrews, if you could give us your name and any affiliation.
Yes.
For the record.
Eleanor Andrews, and I'm here today speaking on behalf of Alaska's future. I'm going to give you a little bona fide. Yes, I've been here over 50 years. I've raised my kids and grandkids. I was Commissioner of Administration during a big crash in 1986. Coming out of that, I was a very successful business person for 50 years, proudly paid corporate income taxes to the state of Alaska and the federal government. Because this is a place of opportunity. But if we don't act to use part of the permanent fund earnings to fill the budget cap and really take a look at strategically, sustainably planning a budget for the future, we're going to have the kind of crash that we had in 1986 and 87. It was my displeasure to help the governor sequester 50% of the operating budget. Not one city or village got a municipal grant. I had to daily have meetings with lessors and vendors and agree or get them to agree on pennies on the dollar payment. We could barely fund our defense agencies. I remember being in Anchorage, whole subdivisions emptying out as people lost their jobs and the banks couldn't handle the keys that were dropped off for people's mortgages that went. They couldn't sustain their mortgages. So, you know, we've got a little bit of time now to plan what's going to happen. Yes, we're going to have a reduced budget. No, we're not going to have big mega projects. We can't afford them. You wouldn't do it in your family. You wouldn't be buying a boat if you couldn't make your house note. So we have to take a look at what's essential, what's constitutionally required, what's statutorily required, and what is going to keep our economy from bottoming out. I would much rather have people and myself get half of the dividend that we have today and be able to look forward to it in the future for their kids and for their education. I've spoken about this in the poor neighborhoods of downtown Anchorage. In Mountain View, I've been out to small towns like Glen Ellyn and Copper Center, and everybody knows that's the solution.
Ms. Andrews, thank you very much. I appreciate your service and your comments. I would invite people to make it very clear. Yeah, thank you. Up next is, to off-net, Nancy Hillstrand out in Catchmack Bay. I would encourage those testifying to make it very clear their position on each of the bills, House Bill 245, Permanent Fund, or House Bill 250, the income tax. Just make it real clear. So with that, yes. Ms. Hillstrand, give us your name and affiliation, if any, and give us your testimony, please.
Yes, my name is Nancy Hillstrand, and I am in support of House Bill 250. I would like to see self-determination back into the state that we had back in the 70s, and I hope that you will reinstate the state income tax. I have a value-added fish processing plant. We have about 60 employees, and probably 50% of them come from out of state, and I really think that it would be important that they can pay into our economy when they leave and not take it all with them. And that goes for oil companies, mining companies, logging companies, and the fishing companies. So anyway, that's my comments to you, and I thank you for all your work down there. I do hope you take action on this, and thanks for all your work.
Ms. Hillstrand, thank you for calling in tonight. We'll stay on off-net and go next to Patrick Dalton. If you can give us your name and affiliation and your testimony, please, Mr. Dalton.
Yes, Patrick Dalton in Delta Junction, and thank you for allowing me. I called into the Dave Ramsey show about a week ago. Question, are states with income taxes losing millionaires? The great Dave Ramsey's response just the other day, he said, he has absolutely anecdotal evidence that, yes, decamillionaires, those with 10 million or more, are definitely leaving states with income taxes. The real shame, he said, however, is that when these multimillionaires leave states that impose income tax to avoid this income tax, they take with them many jobs in the form of their employees. Now, the guy with the laundry testimony about the laundry, now, that's a very astute character of what's happening in the big fallacy with us trying to tax our way out of this hole. The problem is we are spending too much and there is not a base to pay for it. Now, you see, we cannot change the reality of economic science. We have two historical models. The one is the tax cuts with deregulation of the early 1980s, which, you know, Martin Gross pointed out in the Hoover Institution that it was the greatest expanse in economic history of the United States and of the world of that time because they cut taxes and deregulated. The other historical model that we can learn from, if we will, is the Roaring Twenties when they cut taxes and brought them out of a recession. Now, if we backtrack and if we don't learn from these lessons and we think that we're going to be above sound economic science and we're going to start taxing ourselves into prosperity, it doesn't make sense. And I hope I'm around if we refuse to see this, to remind you guys in 5 years that you would not listen. You refused and you kept taxing us instead of cutting state budget. And I thank you for listening to my response, my testimony, and I wish you will consider these issues carefully.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Dalton, I appreciate your testimony. We're going to stay online and go to off-nets. Let's see, is that off-net? Mr. Matt Blattmacher, can you hear us, Matt Blattmacher?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir. Give us your name for the record and your 2 minutes testimony, please.
Yes. My name is Matthew Blattmacher. I work with Alaska Trust Company. I'd like to briefly talk about both bills. On 245, I'd like to say that, you know, there is no silver bullet solution to the fiscal crisis that we're in. We're talking about a $4 billion hole. We can't cut our way out of it, and we can't tax our way out of it. As others have said, we don't have a big enough base. So it's got to come from a multifaceted approach. I agree that cutting spending and implementing new sources of revenue are absolutely necessary. The permanent fund was created for a rainy day. I am struggling to think that if today is not a rainy day, what would constitute one? So I encourage you to consider restructuring the permanent fund if it's not in exact accordance with House Bill 245 to some derivative of that. On House Bill 250, as I've said, we need multiple sources of revenue to pay for our state government. I believe that that is absolutely necessary. The current form of House Bill 250, I believe, has some unintended consequences to functioning and profitable industries in Alaska, specifically the trust and estates industry, where we generate a significant amount of free revenue to the state, we being the industry, and this revenue would effectively go away overnight with an income tax bill without certain provisions. Other states have accomplished this goal. It's not out of the realm of possibility, and I think that would be the best way forward. I appreciate your work and for allowing me the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Blattmacher. So you're a no on House Bill 250 or amend?
I'm an amend on House Bill 250. I'm in support of the concept against its exact form.
Thank you very much for the clarification. Okay, thank you, Mr. Blockmacher. Go to Russ Mullins, also online. So give us your name and affiliation, if any, and give us your 2 minutes testimony. Ross Mullins. Oh, sounds like he got your radio on. So let's cut that one off and go to Tim Robinson. Tim Robinson and Palmer, if you can hear me, please give your name for the record and your testimony.
Hi, my name is Tim Robinson. I'm calling in from Palmer, Wasilla area. I think the people of Alaska were really forward-thinking back in 1976, and actually today they call it progressive, because what they set up was a socialist system wherein they invested their money, and so they could distribute it amongst themselves later on. I think it's very progressive and a wonderful way to think. This budget crisis isn't going to be ended by with one fell swoop. I think it needs to be a global approach. Income taxes, there's no problem with taxing $7 billion a year that walks out of the state. There's plane loads of people coming up here on a daily basis to work here. They could pay their fair share towards the infrastructure that they are using. They pay nothing. They pay nothing up here. They take the money out of the state. That money that they're working for is the people's money. It's the people's oil. And I was really blown away last night when I listened to the Finance Committee, listening to the man that says he's been working in the oil industry for 8 years and hasn't made any money. If you work at something for 8 years and don't make any money, wouldn't you give it up? But no, he was fighting against amending the tax credits that we just gave them. They're all fighting. They're drooling at the jowl to get to those oil revenues so cheaply because we gave them to them. They were given to them. We need to tax the oil revenue, get back our oil money. That's our oil. That's nobody else's oil. That's not the oil company's oil. That's Alaska's oil. This money that's generated here is Alaska's. We need to look at the permanent fund. It was saved for a rainy day. Yes, it's a rainy day, but it needs to be protected. We need to increase income taxes. We need to increase the oil taxes. They're not taxes. They're our share. It's a share of the revenue. It's not a tax. Who are they kidding?
Mr. Robinson?
Did BP's president a $3 million raise last year? He got a $3 million raise. Why is that?
Mr. Robinson, thank you for your testimony, sir. Appreciate it. If you have written comments you want to send them in, please send them in by email to LHSC.
But any of them, Bob. Bye.
Thanks a lot, sir. Okay, we're going to try Ross Mullins again, and again asking people testifying to please make it clear your position on each of the bills. Let's try again Ross Mullins on the off-net.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, sir, we can. Back off a little bit off the microphone. Give us your name in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you. My name is Ross Mullins. I'm a resident of Cordova for the last 54 years. I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 254. And Senate Bill 245 and Senate Bill 250, or House Bills. I'm sorry, I'm
gotcha,
getting confused
okay.
here. I do support the use of the permanent fund in an expeditious manner to help the state resolve the tremendous budget deficit that confronts us. I am also in favor of an income tax to help spread the pain of the dividend cuts that will be ensuing from the permanent fund dividend redistribution as part to the state. The income tax would help in a progressive manner counteract some of the regressive aspects of the permanent fund dividend reductions. I support strongly the governor's approach. I don't think a percent of market value is a good way in particular to do this. It's much more risky and faces the potential of depleting the permanent fund. In my opinion, the budget reserve and all revenues should go to the permanent fund in order to help grow that fund. That will be the future of the state of Alaska. We've depended on oil for the future for the last 45 years, and it's been a beneficent factor in the state's growth. But that has come to the point it is today, and now that we have a sustainable permanent fund, I believe that fund should be looked to for future revenues for the state. And if we have appropriate sideboards that would restrict the permanent fund spending by the legislature in good years and in bad, that would be the appropriate manner to manage that fund. As Dr. Reinfeldt said in his testimony early on in the legislative session. So I do support 245, I support 250, and thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Mullins. I appreciate your time. Again, reminding folks that we're trying to keep to a two-minute limit to make sure everyone has the opportunity to testify. And please make it clear which bill you're testifying on. We'll stay on off-net and go up to Nome for Lisa Elena. Ms. Elena?
Hello, can you hear me?
You might speak up a little louder, please, and give us your name again.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Much better, thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. My name is Lisa Elena, and first of all, I'm a Nome, and good evening to each of you. Thank you very, very much for giving us this opportunity to share our thoughts, and I also thank you for your service to all of Alaska. Thank you. I just wanted to share, I'm an Alaskan, born and raised here in Alaska. I make my home in Nome, and I'm in support of HB 250, but I disagree with the proposed tax matrix. I was looking at it today and became really concerned because I'm a single mother to four children, and three of those children are still underage and they're living with me. We live in a single wage earning home, and I don't receive any state assistance, and my children's father doesn't pay any child support, and that's similar to many, many single parent families in Alaska, and I don't know if that's inappropriate or too much information, but it's the fact for many people here in the state. I fully support this proposed state income tax. I feel it would tie the people to their government. I think that when you do this, it increases government accountability, and it also increases public voice, and also helping our deficit. Where I strongly disagree, however, is in the, like I said earlier, in the matrix, you have married couples with children paying less taxes than single parents. So the single parent homes are paying more according to this matrix, and I don't understand the logic. Married couples have two times more earning power, and it's my thought that because of that, they should be paying more than single parents. So here's a wonderful opportunity for us to increase accountability in our government and increase public voice and tie the people to their government through this income tax. But let's do it in an ethical way. Let's set an ethical precedent. It's completely within your power to do that. So, I thank you for this opportunity to share.
Thank you, Ms. Elena. Appreciate your comments. Okay, we're going to go up to the Fairbanks LIO and invite Mr. Richard Green to come to the microphone, give us your name and any affiliation, and give us your testimony, Mr. Green.
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Richard Green. I am testifying in favor of Bill 245. And regrettably, I'm not well versed with the income tax bill, HB 250, but I am all over the fact that we need to have an income tax and diversify ourselves. So I was in Juneau Monday and Tuesday this week and spoke to all of the fabulous Fairbanks delegation regarding this topic and the need to address the budget deficit by reducing the state operating budget and using permanent fund earnings this session. Now I'm taking the time to say the same thing to everyone else. Anyone worried about tampering with the permanent fund and their reelection should be more concerned about their reelection by not addressing the budget deficit this session. You worked out some budget cuts. Now use the permanent fund earnings to endow monies for essential services. You were all sent to Juneau to make hard decisions, and now it's time to be making those hard decisions, and I appreciate all that you're doing down there. I know it's not an easy road to hoe, but don't ever underestimate the common sense and the memory of the Alaskan voter. Once again, I support both these bills. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Appreciate your words. Staying at the Fairbanks LIO, I'll invite Cynthia Henry.
Thank you very much. I'm Cynthia Henry, and I'm representing myself. I'm here to support House Bill 245 and oppose HB 250, which would impose a personal income tax. I appreciate all of your hard work this session and your willingness to provide this opportunity to speak to you. This is not an easy time to serve in your positions. It's also not an easy time to operate a retail business in Alaska. Although home for my husband and me is Fairbanks, our family operates retail stores in the malls in Anchorage. Our Hallmark stores are seeing the impact of our state's fiscal uncertainty. Our fate is at the mercy of a healthy economy and our customers' job confidence. That confidence is precarious at best. We are observing decreased mall traffic, and our customers are being cautious and seem financially insecure. The ripple effect of reduced consumer spending is accelerating and permeating the Alaska economy. I'm writing to ask that you vote against implementing a personal income tax. As you know, companies in the oil industry are already cutting back and leaving this state. I have grave concerns about the impact of the job losses and uncertainty for Alaska small businesses like mine. Imposing a personal income tax will exacerbate an already weak economy. After cuts to state government, the best tool we have to address the deficit is to use a portion of the earnings from the permanent fund to pay for government services. The remaining deficit should be funded by the CBR. Doing this will extend the life of the CBR and maintain a sustainable dividend program. Acting this year saves the dividend, avoids a recession, and maintains the state's bond rating. Enacting legislation utilizing the earnings from the permanent fund combined with a draw from the CBR will provide some certainty for the private sector that the legislature is managing the state fiscal challenge, and this action will protect private sector jobs and support continued private sector investment. Thank you for this opportunity to speak to the committee.
Thank you, Ms. Henry. Appreciate your time. Staying in Fairbanks, we'll go to Susan Sprinkle. Please give us your name and any affiliation and your 2 minutes, please. And again, please specify which bill you support or oppose.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Please.
Yep. Okay. My name is Sue Sprinkle, and I represent myself. I, too, am a business owner, self-employed. And I am here to talk about House Bill 250. I, unlike Cynthia, would like to see an income tax, and I come at it from a different place. I'd lived in D.C. for a long time, and I watched lots of money coming in and leaving to Maryland and Virginia and a little town that wasn't able to tax itself. So I'm watching, according to the piece of information, and 2014 is the best I could find, but it was the Non-Residents Working in Alaska report of 2014. It looks like there are $2.6 billion dollars that non-residents were making at that point. I'm sure that's gone up with oil workers, fishing, seafood, tour operators, logging, maybe mining. And it just seems to me that if you could capture some of those dollars that are leaving our state to pay for the roads, the airports, the general public services that they use while here, that would help staunch some of the wounds that we're experiencing right now. And to be honest, you can only cut and slash and reduce so much before you physically die by the 1,000 cuts that we're trying to make. I don't think you can do all of the cutting to make us a whole and healthy state. So I do believe that we need to be the independent state that we talk to ourselves about and pay for our way. It confuses me as to how we think we can do this and not pay a dime. So I'm a supporter of the income tax, and I would like to see the university system funded appropriately. I heard somebody talking about the oil services, people losing jobs, and someone's going to lose a contract. Well, I, too, am seeing that from the university side of things. I'm not getting some of the work because those people aren't getting the funding from the state. So it's not all oil. It's not all the time. And I would like to see us hang on to the research and the excellence that our university system offers and not gut it. I'd like to see that funded. Thank you.
Ms. Brinkle, thank you for your testimony. Wrapping up the Fairbanks list, let's go to Mr. Walter Robinson in Fairbanks. Your name and affiliation, and again, please be clear which bills you support or oppose. Mr. Robinson?
Hi, my name is Walter Robinson. I live in Nenana, Alaska, and I am a member of the IBW. I have great concerns over the state's fiscal challenge. I feel something needs to be done in this session to correct revenue sources. I feel state services are very important to a healthy economy. I'm lucky to have a wife, be a stay-at-home mother. Both of our kids are homeschooled and need to have these services provided for the state that support homeschool programs. As a construction worker, I feel that if we don't have a healthy state, it will have a trickle-down effect on all jobs and people who will start to leave our state. If action is not taken, we will lose our bond rating to fund future projects in the state. Now is the time to stand up and do what is right for Alaska and its people. I support House Bill 245 and urge you to pass this bill. I support the use of the permanent fund earnings to help close the deficit along with a state income tax. Please act now and do what is right. I love Alaska and want to continue to raise my family in this great state. Thank you for all you do for this great state of Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. I appreciate that. Okay, we're going to go to pick up folks in the off-net. Let's go to James Squires, please. Give us your name and affiliation, and let us know which bill you support. Go ahead, Mr. Squires.
Yes, my name is James Squires. I'm an Article 1, Section 2 Alaskan. I'm testifying today against House Bill 250 and any other bill that imposes an income tax on the people of Alaska. I'm also testifying against House Bill 245 and any other bill that modifies the calculation of the PFD. I'm concerned that you folks are not getting the message. How do I know this? When bills like HB 81 are passed that increase the size, scope, function, and bureaucracy of government with alleged no fiscal note, we know that there was not enough cutting at the finance subcommittee level. Our state government is still too bloated. Now you're asking Alaskans via income tax or a slice off the PFD to pay for these inefficiencies. When bills are passed out of committee that create distrust, like HB 81, where Alaskans have not been notified about proposed changes of the law to participate as Article 1, Section 2 Alaskans, we're supposed to trust the legislature to sign off on an income tax or slice off the PFD. When someone works literally for years to participate in the system, working on an issue, reducing their testimony as short as possible, and the committee literally hangs up on them at the point they begin to address the fiscal note in their testimony, how can we be assured that in the case this income tax bill or PFD bill that you are listening to the people? Actions such as these reduce trust, which in turn creates backlash and removal of support. We have too many chairmen worried about getting rolled, but in fact what has happened is that the people of Alaska are getting rolled. You currently have tools in the toolbox to work this issue without these bills. I do not support these bills. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Squires. Appreciate it. Staying on off-net, we'll go to Mr. Paul Kendall and, again, ask you to be clear about which bill you support or oppose and your affiliation in, for the record in 2 minutes, please. Mr. Kendall.
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. I'm in opposite. Let me put it this way. If you take any of my permanent fund dividend or if you tax me, I'm going to be very, very upset. And I continue to be disappointed in these two-minute moments of where you really can't get into something substantial. I'd like to pose this question to you. If the stock market went deep south and the oil companies decided they're going to shut down the pipeline, you had zero revenue, what would you do then? Would you hunt us down to pay for the retirement pay for the unionized employees? Is that what you would do, is hunt us so that we could serve your needs as a government entity? me tell you what I'm concerned about is, I can't even fathom that for 30 or 40 years you've taken 70% of the oil money and our little bit of portion of the permanent fund dividends, suddenly you need that. And then not only do you need that, you need more money. And then not only that, but you can't possibly cut those people you work with their benefits and enumeration plans. I mean, this has gone absolutely, it's just unbelievable, the position that you're holding. So here's what I would suggest you need to do. You need to get back up here to Anchorage. You need to move that capital right now. Right now, because of the things that are moving in the world. You need to get up here. We need to gather up for 90 days to 6 months and have some hard, interrogating, probing, challenging, contentious questions. And we need to define essential service, ladies and gentlemen. I had a professor tell me last night that essential service were education and public safety. That is the biggest constructed lie I've ever heard in my lifetime. Here's your five essentials for the record to work with. It's water, sewer, trash, electricity, and I've included a fifth one, which I think is communications. Those are life essential energies in order for us to hold our families and dwellings secure so that you might have commerce. If you do not substantiate those, you need to sanctify those and make those off limits for predatory capitalism or investing. And then from there, everything that you walk out is debatable about its degree of need and necessity. The life Mr. essential Kendall. Energies are the life essential energies, and you can no longer construct false paradigm discussions like can't cut the budget.
Mr. Kendall, thank you for your testimony. We each have 2 minutes. We need to be respectful of those behind you, so thanks for your words. If you would like to submit it by email, please send it to lhscfin@akledge.gov. Going next to the off-net for Sterling, Mr. Ed Martin III. Mr. Martin, please give us your name and affiliation and which bill you support or oppose, and your 2 minutes, please. Ed Martin.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is Ed Martin, Sterling, Alaska. I oppose both bills. I really think that, Alaska is a resource-rich state, and 1% private ownership of land in this state is a shame. And all I've seen in the last 20 years is a slow creep of locking up resources. Right now, this is the time when we need to let loose some of these resources. The timber, of course we're on oil and fish and tourism. We're on a three-legged stool. We have been forever. If you guys tax us, and you guys take some money out of the permanent fund, all I can say is, you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. You teach him how to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. If you just take some money now, in 5 years, where are we going to be sitting? We got to create new wealth. We got to let loose some of these resources, get the land to the people will produce. It is a short-term and a long-term solution. My other thought is I'm a small business owner. You start with, the income taxes, that produces, nobody's saying anything about producing the burden on the small business owner to basically distribute these taxes, and the paperwork and time it takes to do all this. I mean, it's hours and hours of work that we're evidently going to have to end up doing if this passes. So I oppose both, and all I can say is when my business goes south, I sell down my assets. The state needs to do the same before they come with their hand out.
Mr. Martin, thank you very much for your comments. Thank you. I want to make sure I have not missed William Deaton in Cordova. Bill Deaton, have you spoken to us yet?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is William Deaton, and I am testifying on behalf of myself and my family, and I am against both HB 250 and HB 245. I believe that the legislators need to cut the scope of government, the size of government, and government spending. One of the ways that we can cut government spending is to defund Planned Parenthood. This has been an ongoing issue, and I believe it needs to happen now. If you don't have money to spend, then don't spend anything. Cut government spending. don't make it hard on the little guys. When we make money, the small business owners, we don't want to have to pay more taxes on the money that we make. Make the hard decisions now. Otherwise, 5 years from now, you will have to without any cushion. Make the hard decisions now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deaton. Appreciate your patience there. Okay, staying offline, let's go to Mr. Bill Lambert in North Pole. Mr. Lambert, please give us your name and your testimony, please.
Yes, hello. My name is Bill Lambert, and I'm not representing anybody but myself.
All right.
I called in a couple other times and then testified, and main thing was about having every state agency be accountable for their electricity, their sewer, their water, everything. And when someone called into KFAR and they said that they used to be a state administrator for a building, and those people were having head bolt heaters heat their cars 15 minutes on, 15 minutes off, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's more than what anybody else is going to do for their vehicle up here. And they're getting that as part of their compensation. So that's money. That's dollars. Personally, I'm against both of these bills. I don't want any income taxes whatsoever at all, period. I don't want any taxes increased on anybody at all whatsoever. I want to go the complete opposite of that. I would like you guys to look at actually either doing land swaps or giving every Alaskan resident either soil rights to the land they currently own, and I would love to see every Alaskan, if they're a baby that was born tomorrow, or somebody who's about to die tomorrow, 3 acres of land with land rights all the way across. And after 2 years, they can sell it. They can sell it to anybody. They can keep it, they can homestead, they can do whatever they want. You do that, you're going to encourage an expansion across the state because people are going to do something with it. They're either going to rent equipment, they're going to go out there with a chainsaw, they're going to build a house, they're going to sell it to somebody who wants to come in and mine. And the people who are going to come and mine, they're going to bring money into it because they're going to do the silly studies that the EPA is going to require. That's what I want to see. Go in the opposite direction. Don't even talk about income taxes. Don't even talk about robbing the permanent fund. Thank you very much. Bye.
Mr. Lambert, thanks for taking time to call in. Okay, we'll continue on with you off-net. In Anchorage, Colleen Bickford. And again, please give us your name for the record and specifically which bills you oppose or support. Ms. Bickford.
Thank you. My name is Colleen Bickford. I am calling to represent myself. I have lived and worked in Anchorage for 32 years. I appreciate the opportunity to give testimony. I'm concerned about our fiscal future. I want our legislators to do more than just cut. I'm testifying in support of House Bill 250 as written. I also believe it's imperative that legislators use a portion of the permanent fund earnings. I'm not willing to say I fully support House Bill 245 as written, but in general, I support that concept. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to give testimony.
Ms. Bickford, thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony. Okay, staying off net, let's go to Sharon Dalton in Delta Junction. Please give us your name and any affiliation, and give us your 2 minutes, please. Ms. Dalton.
Okay, yes, are you hearing me?
Yes, ma'am, we are.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm calling in to represent myself from Delta Junction. I am opposed to House Bill 245 and 250. I want the legislatures to stand strong against these bills and any future taxes. The economy does not support it. People have come to Alaska for freedom. We shouldn't be constantly be comparing our state to other states. We have the highest government spending per capita of all the other states, and that's not something that we should be proud of. There's very little economy here anyway. The small businesses like my family has, we're not going to be able to handle any kind of taxes. We'll just be shutting our doors and probably moving to the lower 48. There's a lot of people that come when we have traveled that have come to Alaska because they hear of all the freebies that we have in Alaska, and they want to come here and partake of part of that. So that's not something that we should be advertising to everybody else. We need to make these cuts people need to be acting as responsible adults and saying, no, because I didn't pay for this, I shouldn't be entitled to this. This constant sense of entitlement that everybody has needs to be stopped, and everybody needs to be responsible. You have a plan in place in front of you, the UFLAlaska.com, a 96-page plan to balance the budget without any taxation. Nothing has been addressed to that. We have a solution, and you guys aren't going with it. You just keep coming up with more taxes and to drive the people out of the state. Well, thank you for taking my testimony, and thank you for your service.
Dalton, thank you very much for your words. Appreciate your testimony. We've been joined by Representative Kawasaki, and for testimony, we will stay on off-net. Terry Gottstein in Anchorage, again, please give us your name for the record, your specific position on the bills, and Ms. Gottstein, please go ahead, please.
My name is Terry Gottstein. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can.
Okay, my name is Terry Gottstein, and I live in Anchorage, and I'm representing myself today. I am very strongly in favor of an income tax, so I support HB 250. In fact, I don't believe it goes far enough. I think that anybody who is looking at our current fiscal situation, I mean, if they've looked at any kind of analysis, they realize that we're not going to balance the budget with cuts alone, with the permanent fund alone, or with income tax alone. It's gonna have to be a balanced approach so it doesn't fall on the backs of one particular group. And I do not support a sales tax because I believe that it disproportionately affects our rural communities where the necessities of life, you know, what a gallon of milk costs or laundry soap or the basics, a sales tax would disproportionately affect them. Similarly, if you're going to make changes to the permanent fund dividend, which I believe is necessary, that's going to also have the biggest impact on the bush where jobs are scarce, and that is an important source of cash to buy basics. So I do support a restructuring of the permanent fund. I can't speak to HB 245 because I'm not as familiar with it, but I do support the governor's plan because I also believe it will sustain the permanent fund instead of decimating it. There's a group called Our Alaska. It's a bunch of young people that put together a video that just came out recently that I think that you all should watch because it likens Alaska at this point to the trust fund kids. And I encourage you to just take a look at it. You know, a trust fund kid is, you know, yeah, we're going to live off the permanent fund and, we're not going to cut our budget and gee, I don't really want to get a job. You have to get new revenue sources and, an income tax is the fairest way to do that and will capture the out-of-state workers who are here and,
Ms. Gottstein?
One last thing. One of the previous, testifiers said that people have come here for freedom, but you know what? I don't think anybody came here for a free ride. I'm willing to pay my way, and I think that most Alaskans are. So
thank you, Ms. Gottstein. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Again, we've got 2 minutes per testifier. We have lots of folks who want to weigh in for some reason, so please be respectful of their time. Let's go to, let's see, staying on off-net, Lauren Blanchette, please. Give us your name and your specific position on the bills. And your 2 minutes, please.
Hi, yes, my name's Lauren Blanchette. I reside in Anchorage, Alaska, and I was calling today. This is not the first time I've testified. I will testify again in favor of House Bill 250. I am in favor of an income tax. I am also in favor of the restructuring of the permanent fund. I'm not necessarily married to the details of HB 245, but I believe in the concept. Like some previous people have testified, I do think we need a balanced approach of new revenue sources, of restructuring the permanent fund and an income tax, as well as cutting unnecessary government spending, but not by decimating our education and the services that we provide like for the various residents of Alaska. So with that, I'm in favor of both HB 250 and HB 245. Thank you very much for your time and for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Lanchett, for your brevity. We'll go in room, Mr. Holloman. And in Juneau, we also have Jordan Nigro. We'll be up next. So, Mr. Holloman, please, you know the drill.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Andy Holloman. I'm president of the Anchorage Education Association in Anchorage, about 3,500 certificated educators that staff the Anchorage School District. I'm a 20-year educator in the state and a 30-year resident. I'm here to speak in favor of both bills. An income tax should be a small part of a package of taxes. While multiple taxes aren't something that people find warm and fuzzy, it means that everyone winds up paying something. It's crucial to make use of the earnings reserve, moderate other revenues, and moderate cuts in expenditures together as a package, and it's important to do it this year. Long-term residents are ready to support you in this, and I offer the support of my members as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holloman. If you have written testimony, if anybody's got written testimony they would like to leave with the committee aide, we can make sure that gets in the record in written form. Good deal. Ms. Nigro, pardon me.
That's okay.
We designed it that way to throw you off balance.
We're littler people than me. Hi, my name is Jordan Nigro, and I live here in Juneau, and I'm here to testify on behalf of myself. And I'm here actually to support both HB 245 and 250. I grew up in Alaska, about 60 miles north of here, actually, and now I just live right up the street. And, you know, sometimes Southeast Alaska is hard for those of us who spend time here. It's rainy and cold, and sometimes I want to run away where I can grow tomatoes on my porch and all of that stuff. But, you know, and that's what's happening right now. Some people are leaving because of the economy. But the thing is, I grew up here, like I said, and this is home for me. The people that I love are here. The land that I love is here. The fish that I love are here. And I'm not leaving. And so I want to be part of this solution. And I feel like both of these bills give us an opportunity as Alaskans to be part of the solution. And I hope that you will let us do that by passing these, because I think it's not a simple answer. And I know this is all very, this is a hard session, but I think we can do it, and lots of people want to stay here and want to see our state stay whole. So thank you.
Ms. Negro, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, staying off net, let's go to Anchorage for Elise Galvin.
Hi, this is Elise Galvin. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify. I really feel like this is an important part of our democracy, and I thank you for hearing from the people. I just have a few things to say. Count me in as another Alaskan willing to pay up for what we're doing.
Ms. Galvin, can you back off from the mic a little bit? Ms. Galvin, can you back off from the mic just a little bit so we can hear you better?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Much better. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Again.
So I just said, count me in as another Alaskan willing to pay up for what we are getting. And I find this to be a much more equitable approach to asking our community members to help pay for all the services we receive. I'm happy for the roads, emergency services, schools, and more. An income tax is much more humane and equitable than a cap or limit on PFD as far as revenue sources from Alaskans. Also, income tax has the ability to gain income from out-of-state workers, that's been bugging me for quite some time, who come up to make money in Alaska. It's important that we all pull together and do our part and be a part of the solution. And the solution should not come from one sector or another, or just draw from our savings accounts. Now is the time to put this in place. As we continuing to draw exclusively from our savings diminishes our chance in the future to use those reserves. So please support House Bill 250, and I'm not familiar with the details of 245, but whatever you work out to be fair, I really appreciate the $15 for a $50,000 family. I feel like $15 for a family making that much is fair. And so I just thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. Appreciate your comments. Staying off net, let's go to Kelsey Plzynski.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Kelsey Plzynski, and I am testifying on behalf of myself. I oppose HB 250. Honestly, I think it's absurd and an affront to all Alaskans that this legislature is considering an income or any other broad-based tax before adequately addressing the out-of-control spending that is and has been prevalent in the state over the last decade. Just as an extravagant lifestyle isn't an option for a struggling student, college student like myself, it is not an option for our state government. Nearly everyone has that one service that they wish to see perpetuated by the state. I'm not one of those individuals. For example, I'm a recipient of the Alaska Performance Scholarship. That means that each year I receive nearly $5,000 of free money from the state of Alaska. This is just one example of a program that can and should be cut. Without the APS, my life will be harder, and that sucks. However, it is a luxury that cannot be afforded by the state. Just as a family facing hard times may downsize their home or car and cancel the cable package, our state needs to do the same. We need to downsize state government and services. Departmental budgets have not faced cuts deep enough. Even maintaining all current programs, every department has waste that can be eliminated. And let's not forget the irresponsible spending by the legislature either. If I was in the Anchorage LIO right now, it's bubbling as become known as the Taj Mahal with a special focus on its automated trash cans. We're facing a $4 billion deficit in the state, something that everyone hearing me right now is aware of. Education, healthcare, and state services all can and should face significant cuts. The fact of the matter is, instituting a broad-based tax at this time tells me that our lawmakers have given up. They have given up on responsible spending, right-sizing government, their constituents, and themselves. Don't give up on me or the rest of Alaska by instituting an income tax. Oppose HB 250. Thank you for your time and your service to the people of this state.
Thank you, Ms. Blazinski. I would note that I think automatic trash cans are $49.95 at Costco today. But see, I'm online or off here. Go to Olivia Pigeon.
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Olivia Pigeon, and I'm here representing myself. I would like to begin by saying that I strongly oppose HB 250. In every instance where an income tax is implemented, it inevitably rises and continues to rise at a frightening rate. Rather than taxing people's hard-earned money, the state should learn where to cut spending. We have a plethora of excess programs. Education, healthcare, and state services all can stand to take cuts. One shining example of wasteful spending is by the university. That includes the new engineering building, two new sky bridges, and a new parking garage. And that's just the Anchorage campus. I am a college student who is currently attending UAA, and I am my own sole provider. When I don't have enough money to pay for excess things like having cable or going out to dinner, I don't try to steal money from my friends and family to pay for irresponsible spending. I learn to make cuts in those departments and save until I can get back on my feet. This government continues to try to tax its way out of our $4 billion deficit, but in reality, this government, by passing HB 250, will perpetuate it. For these reasons, I ask you to oppose HB 250, and thank you for letting me speak today.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pigeon. Okay, going up to Fairbanks LIO, we'll pick up Mr. Merrick Pierce. Please give us your name and affiliation and 2 minutes, and please be specific as to which bill you oppose or support.
Hi, good evening, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Merrick Pierce from Fairbanks representing myself tonight. My testimony tonight generally applies to both bills. $4.1 billion budget deficit is a serious problem. But before we implement either of these bills, state spending needs to be adequately curtailed. A few examples. Spending by the legislature and its members is roughly $70 million per year. You have excessive travel. You have excessive per diem. We think of what Lisa McGuire did when she spent $40,000 in a recent year on travel. You have the $32 million expenditure for the Glass Palace in Anchorage, a building that, you know, rational people think is worth maybe $20 million. And then, of course, you've got the severance tax policy that is not capturing a fair share of the oil revenue. You know, if oil goes to $50, $60, $70 per barrel, $40 a barrel, we have $7.5 billion worth of oil leaving Alaska per year. $50 oil is worth $9.3 billion, and $60 oil is worth $11.2 billion. But your Senate Bill 21 doesn't capture any of that revenue. It doesn't matter if it's $40, $50, or $60. We're losing a tremendous amount of revenue because of Senate Bill 21. Then, of course, there's the corporate welfare provisions within Senate Bill 21. You're spending roughly $700, $800 million a year in corporate welfare for the oil and gas industry. That's not acceptable. Those kind of expenditures need to end before you ask people to pay for an income tax. And the final perspective I'll offer you, Mr. Chairman, in the permanent fund, if it's $1,000, reduction per dividend check, in our Fairbanks North Star Borough, we have 100,000 people. So if you take a $1,000 reduction over this community, that's a $100 million hit to the Fairbanks North Star Borough in a community that's already in recession. We've lost 2,500 people over the last year and a half. We have 1 million square feet of commercial office space that's sitting vacant. I'd ask you to get your spending in line before you start looking at income taxes and the rate on the permanent fund. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Appreciate your words. Staying in Fairbanks, Ms. Pam Throop, please give us your name and affiliation and what your stance on the bills, and please proceed.
Hello, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Pamela Troop. I've been watching you guys for days on Gavel to Gavel, and I want to thank you for actually having that available to those of us who live far away from Juneau. It's really been enlightening, and I get pretty frustrated when I get home and my television hasn't recorded a certain session or something. But anyway, thank you for that. I would like to say that I think that most Alaskans wouldn't oppose giving up part of their permanent fund or an income tax of some sort. They would be willing to help if we had asked the oil companies to help also. The fact, I watched the gavel to gavel last night and the testimony on the oil and gas taxes, and I couldn't believe that we weren't willing to cut anything out of what we're giving them out of the $750 or $800 million a year. That's a huge amount of money, and my understanding from watching part of it yesterday was that it has nothing to do with production, that's just for exploration. So we give out these hundreds of millions of dollars and we have absolutely nothing to show for it. I would implore you to please take a look at that and make it reasonable and marketable. If the people who are just normal little people in this state are expected to give up, I don't think the oil companies who have billions and billions of dollars, it wouldn't hurt them to also pitch in at this time. Up north, BP has shut down three of their five rigs. ConocoPhillips laid off people within weeks of SB 21 being passed. So SB 21 really didn't do what it was supposed to do, and I heard people saying that last night, the legislators that were talking, that it did. So I really hope that you'll revisit that. So I can't support these right now until something is done with the oil and tax credit, and those are brought into line with what the rest of us are expected to give in the state.
Thank you, Ms. Thru. Thanks for your comments. Appreciate you taking time to call in tonight. We're going to go next to the off-net again for Mr. Earl Whip, but I want to remind those listening that we would like to take 2 minutes testimony each on either of those two bills. If you want to get the call-in number and you haven't already called in, it's 465-4648. Tell a friend. And if you have written testimony that you'd like to submit for the record, please send it to lhscfin@akleg.gov. Again, lhscfin@akleg.gov. Okay, Mr. Earl Whitt, on the off-net, please give us your name and your 2 minutes testimony.
My name is Earl Whitt, Anchorage, Alaska. Full disclosure, I'm the Executive Director of the Armed Services YMCA of Alaska, but I do not speak on behalf of the Armed Services YMCA, its affiliates or its partners. Through the chair, would it be appropriate to ask a quick question concerning HB 250?
Certainly.
In my reading of HB 250, I do not see anything that precludes personal income tax to military members, whether active duty, guard, or reserve. Is my reading correct?
That is correct, Mr. Witt. The tax would be assessed on your federal income tax and if you were an Alaska resident, and on the income you might earn in Alaska if you were not an Alaska resident.
And prior to if and when HB 250 is brought on the House floor for a vote, I would encourage the committee to look into an amendment that exempts active duty military, guard, and reserve members from paying an income tax in this bill. I am an advocate for military, whether active duty, guard, or reserve, and I believe that their defense of our nation and the sacrifices that they make are more than enough to preclude them from paying an additional tax while their service is here in the state. And I would ask that the committee help us join, as the state of Alaska, the other 17 states throughout the nation who has exempted military service from income tax. I thank you for all that you do. I wish you the best of luck, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Witt, and thank you for your service to the Armed Forces. Why? Okay, let's go back to the Homer LIO. Paul Roderick, please give us your name and your specific position on the two bills, and proceed, Mr. Roderick.
Yeah, Paul Roderick. Gentlemen, I like Clem Tillion's approach to things. You had an agreement back then when you had an income tax, and of course they let it slide, wish they had left it. On the tax, if you have a 6% tax versus a 15 or 16%, it costs the same amount to administrate that. So you're better off with a larger. Anyway, that's my point there. And as far as the permanent fund, don't mess with a permanent fund. Leave it alone. At this time, you're moving too fast to make a lot of sense to a lot of people. The state has not cut enough. They it seems like they're worse than some of the people. They don't want to take, you know, nobody wants to lose anything. But you still have to. You got big projects that still spend money on you get rid of. The income tax will affect the higher income people. The people in poverty, in the poverty level, it's about a third of the population. Nobody seems to address that at all. No matter what hit you give them, they can't take a hit. And it's not being addressed, as far as I know, except in the newspaper. Commentators are talking about it a lot, but it seems like on the upper level, it's you're passing over it and not mentioning it. So, any hit that the lower level takes, they're going to have more people sliding into poverty over that. You're going to say you've got 40% now, you give them a hit, you're going to have 45-50%. Dropping into poverty. So it's that's very important.
Mr. Rob.
Anyway, I thank you for your listening and
Oh boy. Yeah, you got Mr. Roderick, thank you. I appreciate you taking time to testify with us and thanks for your words. We'll go next to the I guess it's the Anchorage Offnet, Mr. Robert McCoy. Please give us your name, and please be specific as to your position on the bills, and give us your 2 minutes, please. Mr. Robert McCoy.
Yes, my name is Robert McCoy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir, we can hear you fine.
I'm in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm just representing myself.
Okay.
As far as House Bill 250 goes, I am definitely opposed to an income tax. I think an income tax penalizes the people that are the most productive, which is exactly the opposite of what you should be doing. I'm not in favor of an income tax at all. As far as House Bill 245 goes, the restructuring, I told Jay Hammond many years ago when I talked to him that I thought this handout of the PFD was one of the worst things Alaska could ever do. And especially considering an income tax and keeping the PFD, you're taking money away from productive people and handing it out to 2 and 3 year old kids who aren't productive at all right now. And again, I think that's just the opposite of what we should be doing. So I'm opposed to House Bill 250, and if you are not going to curtail the PFD, which I would do, at least restructure it so that PFD gets reduced. If we have to have a tax, I think it's much more fair to have a sales tax where everybody's got a little skin in the game. Again, the more money you have, the more tax you're going to pay with the sales tax as you spend more. But an income tax, I'm definitely opposed to. I would hate to see Alaska go down that road. And thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you, Mr. McCoy. I just want to clarify your position on House Bill 245, the permanent fund bill. Is that in support or opposition to the bill?
I've only heard generally what it does is it restructures the permanent fund and it would end up affecting the PFD.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
So I would be in favor of that.
Great. Thank you for it.
But
thanks for clarifying.
Definitely not 250.
Okay.
Not the way it's written now.
Mr. McCoy, thanks for answering the question. We'll stay on the off-net and go to Jeremy Price. Please give us your name and affiliation for the record and your position on the bills, Mr. Price.
Yes, my position, for the record, my name is Jeremy Price. I'm the State Director of Americans for Prosperity Alaska. And I am, as it's no surprise to most folks, we are opposed to Senate Bill 250. Now, we support reducing the size of state government that will only come through real reform with substantive legislation that will overhaul ever-growing and unsustainable programs. We also support using permanent fund savings and earnings before considering taxes. We are blessed to live in a state with low taxes, but for anyone thinking that Alaskans do not pay their fair share in taxes, please consider the following. According to the Tax Foundation, Alaska has one of the highest corporate tax rates in the entire country at 9.4%. Also, according to the Tax Foundation, Alaska is one of the highest states with percentage of private sector workers who are employed by pass-through businesses where the employer is paying taxes through the individual income tax code rather than the corporate tax code. In fact, over 58% of private sector workers here in the state are employed through these self-employed businesses, LLCs, sole proprietorships, and S corporations, where owners pay taxes through the individual income tax code. So as such, increasing income taxes on these individuals would harm small businesses disproportionately hard. Who is creating or who is taking the biggest risks here in the state? The biggest risk takers are those who created a small business. They have invested the most and have the most to lose with an individual income tax. These small business owners are also the job creators in our state. Reagan economist Art Laffer once said, quote, that a tax structure that includes a progressive income tax not only causes the state economy to grow more slowly, but leads to a lower standard of living, lower productivity growth, and thwarts expectations of revenues. Now, from a personal perspective, my brothers and my sister all grew up working in the family electrical construction business out in Salt, Alaska. And I can tell you from personal experience, there is nothing more stressful to a parent than one who owns a small business. I've watched my parents struggle and struggle to keep a business afloat during tough economic times and through growing, complex, and expensive regulatory requirements.
Mr. Price?
Now it is harder than ever to grow a successful business. Please don't make it any harder.
Mr. Price,
you.
2 minutes are up. I'd ask you to conclude by sending us your testimony in writing. Do you have the email address?
That would be great. Absolutely, will do.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Yep. Let's go to the folks in the room. I've got Mr. Tom Bryce, followed by Paul Fuse. So Mr. Bryce first, and then Paul. I should say Representative Bryce, because he used to sit here.
Old geezer Bryce nowadays.
For the record, your name, sir.
Workers' comp.
You should have known. You should have known.
Workers' comp. Yeah, right. Thank you very much, Representative Sadler. My name's Tom Bryce. I'm a Juneau resident, 20 years in Fairbanks, though, UAF grad. I'm here to speak in support of the two bills before you, the restructuring of the permanent fund and the income tax. Income tax, very briefly. Yes, the state's facing a major fiscal crisis at this stage. $2.6 billion worth of wages are leaving the state out of state residents. They can kick in some of the money that they've been earning, taking jobs away from Alaskans to pay for some of the services that that the Alaskans need and receive. As we talk about some of those services, you know, things like making sure the Salcha Highway, the road in Salcha doesn't wash away. DOT's always been the ones to respond to those situations. I like the services. I like knowing that when I'm landing at Fairbanks or Anchorage or many other state airports, that those are properly maintained. And in the winter, my plane will not skid off the end of the runway. I like knowing that the water that I drink is safe. I like knowing that if I go out to dinner, that the restaurants have been inspected, and for that matter, the elevators and escalators that I ride on in private businesses have been inspected and are somewhat safe. Somewhat safe. They're safe. We can go on and on about those types of things. You guys have a much clearer perspective and point of view of where the state's finances are than I do. That's why you're elected, and that's why you spend so much time and energy at this table studying those things. I think both those bills help us move the state forward and keep our populace safe. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Bryce. Appreciate your service. Thanks for your time. Paul Fuse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, your name and members of the committee. Paul Fuse, a lifelong Alaskan. I'm just speaking for myself here tonight. I'm trying to throw in my two cents that might help us think about this fiscal gap. So I really want to address these issues of fairness and regressiveness. I did read the report Rasmussen and the group put out. I thought it was very shallow of somebody who really just doesn't understand how our budget operates. Yes, looked at in one day, it's regressive to take $1,000 from people at the lowest end of the income scale. What services do they get from the state? And if we can't turn our savings into revenue-producing assets, how are we going to pay for that? You know, the whole part of the budget that's designated general funds, people pay for that service. Our entire regulatory structure is paid for by fees by people. You can cut those, but you don't fill the budget gap. How much is it? $877 million in 2016 that Alaska paid for services. Now you've got unrestricted general funds. What's the biggest piece of that? Medicaid and school funding that these people depend on. $7,000 a year per Alaskan on Medicaid if we don't have the money to pay for it. $20,000 per student if you're in the urban area. $30,000 if you're in the rural. If we can't, you know, I'm willing to pay an income tax, even though it'd raise a couple hundred million, doesn't really fit the budget gap. Unless we can do something like 245, we can't get anywhere near solving this problem. And ironically, the people that the concern is expressed about of unfairness, they're going to be the ones that are going to suffer the most if we can't pay for those programs that they depend on. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Mr. Fuse, just want to be clear your specific position on the bills?
Well, like I said, I would personally be willing to pay an income tax. I don't know if it's the best policy for the state overall. I do support 245 or Senate Bill 114 or some version of this that turns our savings into revenue-producing assets.
Thank you for the clarification. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to shoot down to up to Homer, the LIO, Mr. Steve Gibson. If you can hear me, please give us your name for the record, your specific position on the bills, and your 2 minutes testimony.
Yeah, this is Steve Gibson in Homer. I'm a small-time businessman in Homer and have been here for many years doing the same work for 40 years or so. I feel like 245 is on the right track because you are at least initiating the tax. I think that the Paul Seaton's original formula was much better, using a 15% of federal income tax liability rather than the smaller ones. I don't know if you're just thinking about breaking the ice with that or what, but it's not a very serious effort at a sales tax. I think that the state should be considering both income tax and other taxes a long time before they consider the permanent fund dividend, especially if you're going to recharacterize it by associating it with royalties instead of the stock market. The oil patch is not looking that wonderful in the future, and the oil pipeline is not going to be that full in the long-term future, so that's a poor thing to invest a sovereign wealth fund in the long run. And it's doing pretty well as it is if you don't mess with it. I do realize that at this point, just because of the revenue shortfall, we're going to have to appropriate some of that, but that's not a very good long-term vision. And there's no question in my mind but that the sales tax as or the income tax is a much better revenue generator, a much more equitable revenue generator than the sales tax. So I hope that's somewhat clear. Do you need more clarity on that?
We've got it clearly, Mr. Gibson. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, going back to off-net, we'll go to Ms. Dina Mitchell in Anchorage. Please give us your name and affiliation and your specific position on the bills. Ms. Mitchell.
Hi. Hi there. My name is Dina Mitchell, and I am testifying on behalf of myself and my family. And I really second what Mr. Gibson had to say. I very strongly support an income tax. It is the simplest way to generate income in terms of a tax structure. It is the most equitable in terms of being a progressive tax, and I also agree that we should not be doing 6% of federal. We should be doing a higher amount. But, again, maybe the intent is to break the ice at this point. And I definitely support a percent of market value approach to accessing the permanent fund. That is what the permanent fund was designed for. It was for a post-oil world, and we seem to be approaching that. So I am very willing to pay for the services that I receive. And I think we should look at both of those things for generating revenue because we've done an awful lot of cutting already.
Very good. Is that it, Ms. Mitchell?
That's it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your brevity. Appreciate it. Okay. I'd just like to remind folks that we need to, if you would like to testify, you need to be either in the queue by 7:30 at the LIO or on the telephone waiting for the off-net. So staying with the off-net, we'll go to Patrick Schlichting. Schlichting and Delta Junction. Mr. Schlichting, please give us your name and pronunciation and your position on the bills.
Hi, my name is Patrick Schlichting. I am from Delta Junction, and I represent myself. I'm in support of an income tax. I personally feel it's a civic responsibility that we all have to support the state. The state has supported us. Now we have to pony up. And we all need skin in the game. I'm a little bit disheartened at some of the cuts that were made. And firsthand, I've experienced this with DOT. A snowstorm this winter, roads went unplowed because they were parsing out their time and their man hours. I see how it affects things on the ground level. Cuts can only go so far. We have to pitch in. And an income tax is something that we can capture revenues from out-of-state workers who fly into the state, do their work, take the money out, and leave nothing here. They enjoy the infrastructure and the benefits of work in our state, and it would be a small price to pay. The rates of tax at this point, I think we'll find a level which we can afford. Personally, diving into the permanent fund, it was meant to be tapped into at some point, and that's the way it was set up. But personally, there's a trust issue with the legislature right now. When we see that the Legislative Information Office in Anchorage is still a consideration, that cuts constituents' trust way down. So I'm in favor of an income tax. I'm willing to put skin in the game, and that concludes my testimony.
Mr. Schlichting, thanks for your testimony. Okay, we're going to go back up to Anchorage off-net. Ms. Janine St. John, please give us your name and affiliation and your 2 minutes, and please be specific about your position on the bills. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Representative Sadler. My name is Janine St. John. I am testifying on behalf of myself. I'm concerned about the future of our state. I've been a 36-year resident of the state, and we've been fortunate to live on oil for a long time, but we all know that's not the future for us. So I do support HB 245 or SB 114, some version of using the permanent fund earnings and Alaska's financial wherewithal to support our state going forward. I also support reducing the permanent fund dividend. I do believe that that's appropriate. I support, in general, I support HB 250. I believe that, probably an income tax is something that's necessary and probably covers the state well, and that we need to all have a little bit of, skin of the game, what everybody says. But I'm concerned that we haven't really had a lot of time to discuss this. I listened to Mr. Witt's testimony before, and I thought he had some very valid comments about the military members. I think that requires some scrutiny. And I think it just requires a little more time to think about the process of putting that income tax back in place, because if you look at the history of the income tax we had before, it changed as well a number of times. So I think that should be looked at just a little bit longer. So I would not rush to get that in place. However, I think it is urgent to come up with the structure of using the permanent fund earnings, and I believe there's been enough dialogue on that this year. So that would be my testimony. Thank you for the opportunity to testify, and thank you all very much for your hard work down there. I know it's a tough time.
Ms. St. John, thank you so much for your testimony. Okay, let's go to Gene Ellis in Petersburg. Hello, Gene. Please give us your 2 minutes of testimony.
Hello, this is Gene Ellis from Petersburg. I'm a former legislative staff member and a lifelong resident of Alaska.
Gene, can you back up? Gene, can you back up the microphone a little bit?
I am in support of HB 250, income tax.
Gene, you're coming through very garbled. Can you please back away from the microphone a little bit?
Okay,
and start
I'll try
again.
It again. Does this work better?
That's better, and please start again.
Okay, this is Gene Ellis. I'm a former legislative staff member and a lifelong resident of Alaska. I'm from Petersburg, and I'm calling in support of HB 250, the income tax. I think that's the most fair tax, and I think it's what we should go for. I'm opposed to a state sales tax. I also support HB 245, the permanent fund restructuring. I think that that's important, and if we cap it at $1,000, that is more than people have gotten received in at some points in the past, and more than they will receive at some points in the future. It might be a reduction from what we received last year, but it's not really, in the big picture, a reduction. So I think you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work, and thank you for this opportunity.
Gene, saying thanks so much. Nice to hear your voice. Okay, staying off net, let's go to Linda Murphy in Soldotna. Ms. Murphy, please give us your name and affiliation and your specific position on the bills. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Linda Murphy. I live in Soldotna. I'm vice mayor of the Soldotna City Council, but tonight I'm speaking for myself. I am very much in support of HB 245. You know, our fiscal situation in the state is as bad as I've seen it. I've been in the state since 1972. It is critical that the legislature do something now and not kick the can down the road. I, too, am in support of a state income tax because that gives all of us a skin in the game. I don't consider, using part of the permanent fund earnings a tax on Alaskans. I was here before the dividend, and, I don't want to see the dividend go away completely, but I think that this is a well-thought-out bill, and I hope that you will give it your full support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Murphy. I appreciate it. I'm sorry, your position on the income tax was again?
I am in favor of an income tax. I think that gives everyone some skin in the game, and I think it makes us all closer to our state government.
Thank you very much, Ms. Murphy. Appreciate it. Okay, going
okay,
to the Fairbanks LIO, Meg Nordale. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Meg Nordale. I am here today as the immediate past president of the Associated General Contractors of Alaska and president of Gem Company, a commercial general contractor in Fairbanks. I am concerned about the fiscal challenges facing our state. I am concerned about the future of Alaska for the community of Fairbanks, for the longevity of my general contracting business, and for the opportunities I hope my grandchildren are able to seize, just like our forefathers used to create the great state that we all enjoy today. I believe the time has come to make the hard decisions required to address the fiscal challenges facing Alaska today. A healthy state economy is crucial for a vigorous and healthy private sector economy, Just as I do in my business when facing difficult decisions, I solicit input from my partners, gather my team together, sit down, roll up the sleeves, and make the decisions that will move our business forward. You have heard from your experts. You are the team now, and it is time to make the decision to implement a fiscal plan using a portion of the permanent fund earnings, cuts to spending, and new revenues. Rather than lamenting the use of permanent fund earnings, I believe we should be rejoicing that we have this option available to all of us. One can only imagine where the state would be if we were without that tool in our toolbox. HB 245 will provide fiscal stability for Alaska's future. It will provide for stability and start the process of reinvigorating the economy of Alaska. This bill combines the most favorable components of other bills into one, which will stabilize permanent fund dividends for all Alaskans and use the bulk of the assets in the form of earnings to diversify Alaska's revenue. The private sector of Alaska needs to know the state is proactively addressing our fiscal challenges. The private sector's future, my business's future, depends upon your proactive work during this session. I believe the worst decision is no decision, and a poorly timed one is no different. So I'm asking you to consider my support for HB 245. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nordale. And your position on HB 250?
I support that as well.
Good deal. Thank you. We have one more person online, Mr. Willie Lewis in Anchorage, please, offline. Give us your name for the record and your testimony, Mr. Willis. Lewis.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon or good evening. My name is Willie Lewis, and I would like to testify. Thank you for allowing me to testify today.
I'm here.
I would like to say to you that I never heard anybody talk about climate change.
Mr. Lewis, apparently you've got a TV or radio or something on there in the background. It's giving us a bit of an echo. Would you want to go turn your radio or TV off?
Thank you. All right, I'll do that right now. Okay, is that better?
That's much better. Mr. Lewis, please start again. We'll give you your time again.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I would like to talk about climate change, the fact that the state is ninth in corruption. Where is the coal ash placed, and why aren't you guys talking about the fact that since oil is down, and we know it's called supply and demand. We have plenty of oil, but we don't have any demand. So why aren't we talking about renewable energy like your solar or your wind or your water? Why do we have to hold hands with the oil companies when oil is going out anyway? So I was just wondering why you guys talking about these things. I think that'll be it for today. I got so much on my head I would like to stop, but I only have 2 minutes. So thank you very much for your time.
Mr. Willie, Mr. Lewis, thank you for your time and opinions. We'll go next on off-net to Nadja Brandt in Nome. Ms. Brandt, please give us your name, affiliation, and let us know your position on either House Bill 245 and or 250.
I am Maya Brandt from Nome, and I am 14. My comments are about the income tax. I think it is unfair that single parents will pay more than married parents. My mom is a single parent, and we are always having a hard time with money. It's not fair. Thank you.
Nadja, thank you very much for your comments. Very good, and we will stay on the offlet and go to Carl Kanzer. Mr. Kanzer, please give us your name, affiliation, and your opinion on the House Bill 245 and 250.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Kanzer. I'm here in Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm representing myself, and I've been watching gavel to gavel every day, most of the time, all day long. But anyway, what I'm calling about is the restructuring of the permanent fund dividend, which I'm completely against. The income tax and the sales tax, I'm completely against. And the reason for that is in watching Gavel to Gavel, I saw an endless stream of people going to Juneau asking for money. And a lot of these people want to do the same thing. And it just boggles my mind that with our financial situation, that the legislature would listen to these people wanting more money to do the same thing. So I'm completely against doing any of these. Okay, thank you for listening.
Mr. Cancer, thank you very much. Appreciate your attention. Going next to Offnet, Jeff Bernard. Please give us your name, affiliation for the record, and your
sure.
position on the bills.
Jeff Barnard, no affiliation, from Juneau. A comment on your the bills before you. I think it's time for the legislature to grow a backbone and to address the issues of the state. We do need to do something besides just draw from the permanent fund, my permanent fund. It's time for broad-based taxes, the time is drawing short, so please get busy. Thanks for your time.
Mr. Bernard, thank you for your comments, sir. Good deal. Just let people know that you need to be either signed up at your LIO to speak by 7:30 or on the off-net telephone by 7:30 to testify. We'll close public testimony at 8 o'clock. We'll go to off-net again, Richard Olson. In Palmer, go ahead with your testimony, sir.
Hi, Richard Olson here down in Homer. Can't make the phone right now. I got pancreatic cancer. Can't make the legislative office. Kind of fatal disease, but I want to tell you, the legislators down there who are all listening, you take heed to what I'm saying here. The word set a precedent. Set a precedent. Into our dividend and rob our dividend and do a Judas on us. Our sacred dividend we've set up in the trust. And you go doing it now, you set a precedent. Somewhere 10 years down the line, you say, well, they did it back then, they came in and messed with it, and they were able to do it. No, we set this permanent fund dividend, and there's a reason for the word permanent. It's for all our children. Now you say, okay, it's selfish, we want to have money for libraries and, you know, that you keep the dividends yourself, individuals. We want to have libraries, roads, and, our other needs that the whole community needs, libraries, schools, you know, and of course these are vital needs, you know, but, the thing is, each individual, I don't need a library, I don't want a library, an individual says, I want that money because I got a special need that I particularly need. No, my family needs right now, we need to get, playing into the bush, or we need to, a million different things. Everybody's got their own individual needs. The individual's needs are to be put more important. Made me sick watching these guys in the House and Rules Committee or Finance Committee the other day, the little sparks on their face. One guy, Olson, I don't know, that, how that they're unwilling to break into the capital taxes, credits, and unwilling to break the credits, but they're all too willing to jump right in and help themselves to our PFD. You know, it's like Tony Knowles and all those other traitors. You guys are going to be the ones labeled as the traitors of our generation who are the first to turn over.
Mr. Olson, thank you for your time, sir. I appreciate your comments. I hope you feel better, and thanks for your time. Going next
thank
to off-net.
I didn't get near what I'd like to say because, you know, this is...
I appreciate it, sir, but we got Mr. Olson. I'm sorry, we have a 2-minute limit. We're trying to make sure that those behind you had the same opportunity you did. Thank you very much.
That's our legacy.
Mr. Edward Whitbeck, who's off net in Kenai, please give us your name and affiliation.
Hello?
Is this Mr. Whitbeck?
Yes, sir.
We can hear you. Please give us your name for the record and go ahead.
This is Mr. Whitbeck in Kenai, Alaska. I have a suggestion. Instead of just taxing the coal companies and the gold companies, the mining companies, 6-7%, we pay more than that in our food taxes, tax them 25%. Be done with it. Oil companies, stop the incentives, sir. You know it better than I do. You have two bills in front of you now. One Chenault, $270 million to Agrium, They have already moved out. The other bills, Michiki's, I think it's $290 million to Blue Crest Energy. These people work for Fury. Fury's a company out of Germany. They're going to make diesel out of natural gas. What's going on? I can't believe that's almost $600 million, and you're saying you're broke. You see, you have a problem there. But again, stop the incentives. Just outright tax them. They will leave. You are right. They will leave when the oil's gone, when the coal's gone, and when the gold is gone, sir. And they won't leave until then. But when they do leave, look at the mess someone will have to clean up. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Whip, I thank you very much for your time. Seeing no one else signed up at this point to testify, we will take about a 10-12 minute break and come back and see who's in the queue. Again, if you would like to testify. Okay, great. We have somebody else lined up and signed up. And we're waiting to find out who that is.
Go ahead.
I think we hear you. Mitch, please give us your name. This is Dave Otness. Please go ahead and give us your name and your testimony, Mr. Otness.
Yes, it is. David Otness, citizen, lifelong resident from the old territorial days. I don't envy you guys right now, but I worry more about what kind of a precedent we're setting here, trying to get into the fund this way. I just, no matter how hard I try to rationalize it and sympathize with people who might be having some serious problems with this, I just don't believe it's the responsibility of Bush Alaska to prop up the economy of the urban areas, and that's kind of what we're doing in this. And we already have such higher costs of living out here that it's a pretty significant bite out of our food for the year. I hadn't really prepared any testimony other than to say that I just really hope we can kind of stretch this out and not make this a have to pass thing this year. See what we come up with for next year, and you know, take that chance to not take this drastic step of getting into this fund, because it's something we fought long and hard for back in the day, and now that people are getting older, it's kind of significant. Anyway, good luck. Thank you very much.
Jonas, thank you for your testimony. We've been here about almost 2.5 hours, so we're going to take a short break, about 10 minutes, and come back and pick up the public testimony and see who signed up. Again, if you would like to testify, you need to be on the off-net telephone line or signed up at your LIO by 7:30. With that, we were taking it easy until about 28 after at ease. Okay, it's 7:29. We're back in the record. Continuing the public testimony on House Bill 245 and House Bill 250. We're going to go to the Matt Sue LIO, where Garvin Bucaria is there to testify. Ms. Bucaria, if you can give us your name and identification.
And my name is Garvin Bucaria, a resident of Wasilla here in the Matt Sue. Beautiful evening, I might add. I submitted to you folks a comment relative to SB 128 and HB 245 earlier, but I'd like to read that because you may not have time to read all of the notes and that you receive. To soft land Alaska's economy, vote no on SB 128 final and HB 245 final. And I might add, it's a little hasty to be imposing a state tax. I think that's going to cost us more in terms of setting up the arrangement for it. So at this point, I'm opposed to as a 6% state income tax. I'd say keep the existing permanent fund program. You've got a structure at the permanent fund program that can administer investments far more effective than the revenue portion of the state, which it is under. I suggest drastic cuts to the state spending, that is the mega projects particularly. I'd nix a new bonding. I support the oil production tax incentives. One of our most important things is to keep that industry healthy. I would place, I'd balance the budget on the Constitutional Budget Reserve or these other slush fund projects, and I would not be intimidated by this governor. He has and has continually had pipe dreams regarding this natural gas pipeline, which will not pencil out regarding world natural gas prices, liquefied natural gas prices. And I can't support the Ambler project. None of these things pencil out. It just doesn't cut it. The Kibata, the Juneau Road, they don't cut it. So I, again, I'm opposed to virtually these two bills and suggest that a soft landing with the existing permanent fund regime will carry us through in the next 2 years, and I think constant concern over expenditures will help us.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your comments. We're trying to limit testimony to 2 minutes, so I thank you for your words. Going next to off-net, Bernie Hoffman. Please give us your name, affiliation, and your position on the two bills. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Thank you for your time. My name is Bernie Hoffman. I am from Fairbanks. I'd like to, once again, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I agree with Governor Walker that a multi-source approach is needed to close the $4-plus billion budget gap. I do not support the 5%, 5-plus percent draw from the permanent dividend fund that's being suggested. I suggest an approach that I believe you guys are doing it already, cut 20% of state expenses across the board. No cherry picking. And this is a message to the Republicans. 10%, and let's impose a 10% sales tax. My percentages keep on going up because I keep on calling in and I keep on saying, let's do it. Also, let's repeal SB 21 or modify oil tax credits to fund the budget to a tune of $1.75 billion. Let's triple the gasoline tax. Let's double the taxes on alcohol, tobacco. Let's suspend all large projects. This is Sitna Dam, the Connect Bridge, and the road project, Amber Road, Juneau Road. I agree. And let's institute a state tax, too, sales tax. But let's exempt food, health care, prescriptions, and water. And let's tap the PFD, but only for education. And let's do it with a definite big an oversight. And I would like to see that not tapped for building structures. And finally, let's return that overflow from the power equalization fund to help budget the budget, to help ballot the budget this year. Sacrifice is going to be needed by all of us, and yeah, I also don't it's going to be hard in your position, and it's going to be difficult, but I know you'll do the right thing and you'll work for Alaskans, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. Just to clarify, what's your position on the permanent fund bill and the income tax bills?
Well, tell you the truth, sir. I haven't had a chance to, I've been just reading what I hear in the paper because, you know, I work full time and, you know, and,
okay, well, thank you. I just wanted to probe if you did. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Okay, going next to Hollis Hall in Fairbanks, please give us your name and your testimony.
I'm Hollis Hall. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, and I would like to let you know that I favor both of these bills. I think 245 will allow us to share the burden across all of us in the state, and 250 will allow those that are more affluent and those who out-of-staters who work in our state to share in some of the cost of running the state. I would like to also say that I am very pleased with what the House has been doing this session, and I'm particularly proud of the House Finance Committee. You're running a good show, and you're working pretty hard, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Hall, thank you very much for your kind words. Going next to Joel Schweitzer in Fairbanks. Mr. Schweitzer, give us your name for the record and your position on the two bills, please.
Yes, my name is Joel Switzer, and 44 years old, live in Fairbanks, Alaskan resident now 20 years. And in my 20 years, I have worked in the fishing industry in Dillingham and in the tourism industry in Kenai. And I currently work out of Laborers 942 in Fairbanks, which has put me many years off and on in the oil field. And I would express my support for House Bill 250 on the income tax bill, not solely directed at out-of-state workers, but they are large part of the workforce in the state, and they can also help support our government because they are also benefiting from it. And I would like to see that move forward. We can't get by on cuts alone, and leaving the permanent fund, it has been a model for other governments around the world, and recently it's such a good idea that Saudi Arabia is, in fact, doing something very similar. They're taking their oil company and sending it, releasing it to the public, 10% of it, and they're going to take that money and create somewhat of their own type of permanent fund from it. And so I think that tampering with our permanent fund is the wrong direction to go, and that this income tax bill is the step in the right direction.
Good deal. Thank you, Joel, for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, going next to David Boyle in Anchorage. Please give us your name, affiliation, and your position on these two bills. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, Representative Sadler, committee members, David Boyle. Just speaking for myself from Anchorage, and I want you to count your blessings tonight because you could be in a floor session, and so I can get to bed a little earlier tonight as well. Anyway, I'm opposed to the income tax bill, House Bill 250, because I don't want my income tax, if there is one, to pay for the 1% for art program. I don't want to pay for college students under the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program, because in 18 years, they should have accumulated well over $26,000 of PFDs, which they can use to fund their college. I don't want to pay for the LIO. I don't also want to pay 3.5% annual merit pay increases for the first 5 years of state employees. I don't want to pay for travel of state employees to outside conferences. I also don't want to pay for free health care for state employees for the basic plan. I don't want to pay for free Medicaid for those who choose not to work, which is the case. And I also don't want to pay to grants to hundreds of nonprofits. And I don't want to pay for housing for chronic inebriates in Anchorage, which is a state grant money, and any other free stuff. And by the way, I did look at the fiscal note for House Bill 250, and they're going to hire 44 more state employees full-time and another 16 part-time. This, I thought we were trying to right-size government. It appears as if the governor is trying to grow government, both in the revenue, Department of Revenue, and the Department of Health and Social Services. Anyway, I oppose House Bill 250. Do not let the governor rush you into a panic. Take your time, make good decisions, and I really do respect the work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boyle. I appreciate your testimony and your brevity. We'll go next to Mike Swain. Mr. Swain, give us your name for the record, affiliation, and your testimony.
Hello. Hello, my name is Mike Swain. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I've been a proud recipient of PFD dividend. I'm opposed to 245 and would simply amend the income tax to a flat tax against income in 250. I must say that when discussing the permanent fund, Alaska became an owner state, choosing its royalty land, and then from the royalties creating the account. And they said that the permanent fund is a rainy day account for the state, and in fact, the legislature can withdraw funds from both the PFD's account and to the Constitutional Budget Reserve. However, when it said that the rainy day account is necessary, I don't believe that this delineation was considered as something to fund government in its concept, and if the rainy day is said to be necessary, just how to implement the rainy day was not exactly part of any detail of the fund. At least not one in which $4 billion of deficit or continual operation of the government would occur. And while 245 is not an implementation of a rainy day, it is an implementation of continuing government revenue, and being so would be another reason to oppose 245, as PFD is an investment strategy that consists of very much more than only oil, whereby the share of Alaska's wealth continues to grow. And because the share of Alaska's wealth within the permanent fund is an investment return, the PFD is also more value than that value of current-day oil investments, which means Alaska's PFD is a return of value of an investment, good or bad. And then representing the PFD as present-day variations of oil royalties is really only describing the way of dispensing PFDs as an expense when they are not. They're an investment return of that share. Doing a link between the PFD directly through royalty oil would be somewhat a detail of what some have said is a direct tax, redistributing royalty oil tax directly to the public. Again, the PFD is viable because it's a return of an investment, and it is truly not a fault of anybody that oil prices have fallen. The state should simply do a percentage budget shortfall against the PFD check until the rainy day can be better rationalized, more as a legislative emergency bill temporarily without changing the PFD itself.
I'm sorry, sir. Your 2 minutes are over. You need to move on to the next people so we have in line. Thank you very much. If you have written testimony, please send it in by email to lhscfin@akledge.gov. That's lhscfine@akledge.gov. Going next to Garrett Floyd, please give us your name for the record, and please keep your testimony to 2 minutes, please.
Yes, hi, good evening. My name is Garrett Floyd. I'm calling on behalf of myself from Anchorage, Alaska. I'm calling today to voice my strong support for HB 245 and 250. I'm a third-generation Alaskan who recently returned to the people and place that I love and call home. I've changed careers and am deeply invested in this community. I've gone all in on Alaska. Now that this great life that we all love is at risk, I ask the legislature also go all in on Alaska and demonstrate their willingness to make the tough calls necessary to lead our state through these difficult times. We're in a financial crisis, one that requires immediate action. Broad-based taxes, a restructuring of the permanent fund, and additional state spending cuts are all desperately needed to provide a solution that will get us through the immediate crisis and provide long-term stability. I ask that the House Finance Committee and the rest of the legislature take the actions needed to lead us forward and not allow themselves to be bogged down with partisanship or politics. Please pass HB 245 and 250. They are not perfect bills, but they represent our best path forward to continued prosperity. Thank you for your service.
Mr. Floyd, thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate you taking time to call in. Just want to remind folks that if they do want to send in their written testimony, they can do it by email, lhscfin@akledge.gov. Going next to Doug Goring in Fairbanks. Mr. Goring, please give us your name, affiliation, and your position on the two bills before us.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. This is Doug Goring. I'm calling from Fairbanks. And before I give my position on the two bills, I'd like to point out one aspect of the current dividend program. And that is, my understanding is that last year we distributed roughly $1.4 billion in permanent fund dividend checks throughout the state. While I don't have the exact statistics, my guess would be that several hundred million of that payout ended up going to the federal government because of the federal tax liability that's generated. And so while I'm in favor of raising revenues by both some restructuring of the PFD payout program and some state income tax, I would urge you to think carefully about how those two programs are structured, because I believe that there's a way they could be structured such that the federal tax liability would be significantly reduced, if not eliminated, which would keep several hundred billion dollars within the state of Alaska that are currently leaving the state. And mind you, I am not railing against paying federal income tax. I have no problem with paying my fair share of federal income tax. But to hand out dividends and then collect state income tax in a way that bolsters federal revenues and sends those dollars out of the state of Alaska needlessly, I think is not the way we want to move forward when we have both a taxation and a dividend program. Again, I feel that while I don't know that we have the time to go into the details today, there are ways that these two bills could be combined such that the federal tax liability could be significantly reduced, and I think on the order of several hundred million dollars could be kept in the state that would currently flow to the federal government. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the time this evening.
Mr. Goring, thanks for your thoughtful testimony. Appreciate it. Okay, going next off net to Sarah Wilson in Juneau, unless she's in a room here. Ms. Wilson.
Good evening. I'm Sarah Wilson here in Juneau, and I'm speaking for myself. I support the use of the permanent fund for government operations. I think that's appropriate. In terms of the income tax, I'm concerned with the administrative costs. We have a number of temporary, transient, and out-of-state workers, and I would question whether they would comply with the proposed regulation to pay 6% or whatever percent of federal income tax. My suggestion is that the income tax be implemented similar to the way Social Security taxes are deducted, a given percentage of the gross amount of the paycheck. That would enable us to have a better cash flow, and I think it would involve less bureaucratic and administrative costs. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate your comments. Okay, I need to push a button or two here. Stand by. Brief it is. Yeah, I lost. Up next on the off-net is Deborah Berlini from Anchorage. Please give us your affiliation and your 2 minutes testimony, Ms. Berlini.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Berlini. I'm a 40-year Alaskan, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm testifying against HB 250 and HB 245. I find it interesting the testimony this evening is all about taxing Alaskans and abolishing the PFD as we know it. It is perplexing the testimony does not mention where our state revenue comes from. It comes from oil production and revenue generated from that oil production. Maybe Alaskans forget that the Trans-Alaska Pipeline was shut down back in January of 2011. We were lucky that Alaska Pipeline, its employees, and its contractors were able to get taps up and operating within days and not weeks or months. The Admiral Tom Barrett speaks frequently about how taps becomes challenged at 500,000 barrels per day. We want to increase revenue. We need to increase oil production through taps. Alaskans need to be reminded where our revenue is generated from, or we will have an 800-mile piece of chapstick on our hands, and there will be no revenue generated from chapstick. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Berlini. Again, if you or anybody else online would like to have their information and their testimony entered in the record, please send it to us by email at LHSCFIN, that's LHSCFIN, at AKLEG.gov. Is there anybody else online, Jessica? Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify on House Bill 245 or House Bill 250? Hearing and seeing none, I will close public testimony. And at this time, I'm going to put House Bill 250 and 245 aside for further study and would remind members that the amendments on these two bills, and in addition, House Bill 249 must be turned in to the co-chair, Representative Thompson's office, tomorrow by noon, Friday, April 15th at, 5 p.m. Pardon me. Again, amendments are due by 5 p.m. Friday, April 15th to Representative Thompson's office. Our next meeting is scheduled for tomorrow morning, Friday, April 15th at 8:30 a.m., at which time we'll hear Senate Bill 101, State Park Fees and Sales of Merchandise, House Bill 339, Motor Vehicle Arson, and Senate Bill 69, Board of Chiropractic Examiners. With that, I will recess this meeting to call the chair. Thanks.